Blog Talk Radio.
Today is a new day, yeah, but there is no sunshine. Nothing but clouds and it's dark in my heart and it feels like a cold night. And today's a new day, yeah, we're wearing my blue sky. Where is the love and the joy that you found if you damaged? All right. I'm almost gave up, but I power that I can't explain. Oh, it fell from heaven like a shower. Oh, and I smile, even though it hurts, we have to smile. I know God is working for a smile. Even though I've been here for a while, I smile. So much of a girl when you be down. I'm sure you hate me, give up now. You look so much better when you smile. So smile. But there is no sunshine. Nothing but clouds and it's dark in my heart and it feels like a cold night.
Today is a new day.
Show me where are my blue skies. Where is the love that you chose, that you cried, that you tell me it's all right.
Come on.
Thank you.
So much better when you smile. We should all smile. I'm dedicating a little bit here to your sister. Yay. Welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Lewis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God, called the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. We're truly happy to have each and every one of you all today. I'm excited about the review. I'm excited about the Word of God. We'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll get right into this review. Hallelujah. Father God, we come today with thanksgiving in our hearts. Your word said man should always pray and not faint. The word says also, Father God, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. So, Father God, we thank you right now that we're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed, which is your word. I thank you, Father God, for your forgiving spirit. Your spirit forgives us of all of our sins. And then, Father God, you wash us with your blood according to 1 John 1:9. Thank you, Father God, because for those reasons, we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. I thank you. I thank you, Father God, that you see us as the temple for your Holy Spirit according to 1 Corinthians 6:19. So I thank you, Father God, for delivering us from the power of darkness and translating us into your kingdom. I praise you for it. I ask you, Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Father God, that you continue to open the eyes of those that are blind. I ask you, Heavenly Father, to continue to seal those with your Holy Spirit. I continue to ask you, Heavenly Father, to continue to teach us how to crucify the flesh and live unto the Spirit. I thank you, Father God, that your word says that we are part of the household of faith. And I know we are. And I thank you for it. And I praise you for it. I thank you, Father God, that we're your apple of your eye. I praise you, Heavenly Father, that we're everything your word decree and declare that we are. Ask you to bless those that are traveling. Ask you to let traveling mercy and grace follow them. I pray for those, Father God, that have asked that we continue to pray for them and lift them up, and that may they walk in according to your word. Then, Father God, we pray for this broadcast that you continue to let the sound go forward. And those that were here, those that haven't here, let them hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church today. I thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, listen, brothers and sisters, this week we're talking about the reality of the heart. You know, we've been talking about the last several weeks the reality of living in this new life. And part of that reality is understanding the incarnated or the incarnation. We talked about the reality of his resurrection. It hadn't been revealed to a lot of people that we're not to walk in the flesh, but to walk in the Spirit. It hadn't been revealed to a lot of people that we're to follow him step by step in his miracle. We should be thrilled to know that God allowed us to be part of his resurrection. Even though Christ was the firstborn. But man, I tell you, it's just a miracle to understand that you're part of Christ's substitutionary work. But we got to come to that reality of that. We got to come to the reality of redemption, that you have been redeemed. The Bible says, who have delivered us, not going to who have delivered us out of the authority of the darkness or the enemy. And when you get that word translated, we've been delivered out of Satan's kingdom. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:7 that the redemption is according to the riches of his grace. The Satan had nothing to do with this. The world had nothing to do with this. This redemption is predicated on the grace of God, and he's rich in it. He got a lot of it. He's loaded with grace today. Hallelujah. So we also talked about the reality of this new creation, because what this reality of the new creation gives us is that substitutionary work that God did in the man Christ Jesus. The Bible says we have had, we are a new creation, and we have been called out of that dark way into this new and living way, because he's forgiven us of sin. We have a covenant with him now. I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about joining no church. I'm not talking about any of that stuff. I'm talking about the reality of the new creation, where you become partakers of a divine nature, not a physical organization, but a divine nature. These all represent one fact, that you have passed out of death, or in other words, out of the satanic control, out of that satanic nature, out of Satan's world, into life. The realm of where God lives at. That is, we're in Christ. Why, you ask? Because we have crucified the old man. We crucified the flesh. Now, according to the scripture, We can live in Christ. See, that has to become a reality to you. And once those things become a reality to you, then you begin to walk in these realities. And that's pretty much what we've been talking about over the several weeks. And this week especially, we've been talking about the reality of the heart. And I'm going to say this. I've said it several times this week. We're going to be talking about the reality of the heart, or the reality of the man's heart. And when we say heart, we're not talking about the muscle organ that's in our chest. We're not talking about that organ that pumps blood throughout the vessel, these veins. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about that heart that carries the oxygen through the blood. We're not talking about that heart. The heart that we're talking about is the spirit of a man, okay? And that is like so important that everybody understand that, like that, okay? So I want to take my time and say what the Lord has put in my spirit to say. I know all the time people don't agree with this and with some of my teaching, and I get it. I get it, because if I wasn't born again, I couldn't receive a whole lot of stuff I say too. So I get it, because the carnal mind will not understand the spiritual thing. The Bible says it's foolishness to them. So a lot of stuff I might say that I know, if I wasn't born again, it'd be hard for me to. So just like I'm talking about heart, the Bible mentioned it 884 times, and 98%, and I probably could go 98.1%. Time of talking about heart in the King James Version, it really talking about the spirit man. So we're going to go over some of the things that we talked about this week. And just for clarity, if anybody have any questions about any of this, well, you know, this is our review. This is time you ask questions. This is time you press one and you ask questions. And those people are via internet. Just hit me up with a text. Hit me up. There's a space there. When you go online, you can put comments there. Just hit me up with a comment. I'll go over it and I'll get back with you, because I want everybody to have a clear understanding. The Bible says in all you're getting, get understanding. And that's what's truly important. So on Monday, we did start off with we're talking about the new life in the book of First Peter, the third chapter and the fourth verse. This is the heart that we was talking about. It says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ointment of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. Boy, I thought, wow, what is he talking about there? What's so important to God? It's your heart, man. And then let me just clear up a couple things, though, from this week. I'm going to go back to verse this message starts in the second chapter, but we're not going back that far. So he says, likewise, ye your wives, be in subject to your own. Well, to really see what he's talking about, got to almost go to 1 Peter 2. And I think I'll do that just for those that may not have did your research. Because in 1 Peter 2, and like I said, I just didn't take my time because this is our foundational scripture. We didn't really get into it like I wanted to this week. But what he's telling men how they ought to act, how they ought to present themselves. And he's talking about how a bishop ought to act and how a shepherd. And he's talking about all these things. And finally, over into the third chapter, he let us know how this works. So he says, likewise, ye your wives, be in subject to your own husband, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of their wives, while they behold your charity conversation coupled with fear. And then he began to talk about how women should actually adorn themselves, how they ought to dress up. So he says, don't worry about the outward stuff. That don't mean you can't plait your hair. That don't mean you can't wear jewelry. That don't mean you can't wear gold. Because a lot of people, they took this scripture and made a religion out of it. So, oh, you shouldn't put on this and shouldn't put on that. And it's a sin. You know, people make everything a sin, right? I don't care what it is, it's a sin when it comes to man. You wear your eyeglasses. Oh, that's a sin. You wear your dress too short. That's a sin. Everything is a sin. So that's not what he's talking about. He's telling us how to dress our spirit up. And I went, what? God said, yeah, that's what I'm telling you. How to dress your spirit up. And then he goes on to be real specific by saying, but let it be now the hidden man of the heart. And that word heart is spirit. And that which is not corruptible. Think about what's in you that's not corruptible. Think about that one, huh? Think about that, if you will. What's in you that's not corruptible? And please do not listen to man, because if you listen to man, everything about you is corrupt. And they don't understand 1 Peter 1:23, that you've been born again, not of a corruptible seed, but the incorruptible, which is the word of God. See, that's the part of you that's not corrupt. So when he says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible. So the part of you that's not corruptible is only one part. I got to tell you this, brothers and sisters. That's your spirit, man. That's your spirit, man. Think about that. And he goes on and says that, of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God have a great price. Man, you can't imagine how much your spirit is worth. It's priceless. When it comes to God, when your spirit is dressed up, have the things that God wants you to have on them, it's priceless. Priceless. A great price. And that word great means multitude. So much you can't even count it. It's priceless. So that's where the inner beauty is your spirit, man. So when he's talking about heart, your inner beauty is your spirit. I just love the way that, and then it gives the story about Abraham and Sarah, and that really takes it to a whole nother level. When you put all this together, but When you make your spirit suitable for the Holy Ghost or your heart, if you do it after that manner, because we're talking about this new and living way. And this is that new and living way. That's what he wants us to beautify. That's the expression that God wants us to exemplify to the world, that beauty that within. Now, I don't want anybody to start talking about, oh, you know, Pastor said, don't wear your hair braided and don't do this and don't do this, that, and the third. I didn't see any of that stuff, people. I'm telling you what God admires, what God's word is saying that he loves. So, do your hairstyle. What woman play with her hair? That's your glory. What woman don't like a little jewelry? God wants you to beautify. But the beauty that he expected is a gentle and quiet attitude, which God considers is priceless. It's so precious. And I'm saying priceless because I understand this word of a great price. It's like you can't even imagine. This is what makes a holy woman. Not your hair, not how much gold you can wear. Not all this. It's the hidden man of the heart. And I just had to put a little more emphasis on that today. And we're going to continue with the review. Our next scripture we dealt with was in, we'll go back to Monday and deal with Mark 7 and Mark 7, 22. Let's see, we got Pastor, you're able to read with us today, Pastor?
Yes, Pastor, I'm available.
Okay, awesome. In Mark 7, 22, and this is for anybody that want to have any, this is our review. This is not my review. This is our review, okay? So I'm going to ask Pastor if she'll read Mark 7, 22 while I'm running, and read out the King James and out of the Messenger, if you will. I need to do something here. It's going to take me a minute. Okay.
All right. Praise the Lord. Good afternoon, everyone. Amen. So here we go. Mark 7 and 22 from the King James. Okay. From the King James, 7:22. Make sure I'm in Mark here. Okay. Thieves, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lavishness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Amen. Wow. And then from the Message Bible. He went on, it's what comes out of a person that pollutes, obscenities, lust, murders, adulteries, greed, depravity, deception, dealings, carousing, mean looks, slander, arrogance, foolishness. All these are vomit from the heart. There is the source of your pollution. Amen. So as Pastor was saying, that spirit, that heart that is talking about, that's why we need the right spirit. You know, I think about David when he asked the Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. And so we should ask the Lord that as well, that he will give us a clean heart. That means that Spirit of God has to be in us in order for us to be as he would have us to be. And I like this because it's spiritual. It's all talking about our spiritual walk with the Lord. So I like that Pastor has brought that out about that heart, because I don't know about you, but I know I had it all wrong. And I'm not ashamed to say it. I had it wrong. I thought it was the organ in our chest, but it is not. It's talking about the spirit man. Amen. And this scripture just lets us know, if you don't have God's spirit, all this corruptness comes out. The Message Bible, it says, all these are vomit from the heart. So that letting us know, you got to know what heart you have, and you want to have the Spirit of God in you. Amen. Back to you, Pastor.
Okay, thank you so much, Pastor Bill, for that and for the comment as well. Listen, brothers and sisters, we cannot afford to make the Word of God none and void. We cannot afford it any longer to continue to allow man to take the Word of God and do anything with it, put it any way you want to put it. We cannot continue to allow that. Jesus was faced with this situation. So he said, go to heaven here, let him hear. What he was saying is that what goes in a man's body doesn't defile him. It's what comes out of his body, what goes into his heart. And as he explained this, because he says it entered not into his heart, but into his belly, and goeth out into the dung. And he's explaining to people that a man's heart is his spirit.
Yeah.
So he said, which comes out of a man that defiles a man. Why?
Mm-hmm.
He said it's within, out of that man's heart, man perceives evil thoughts. And he's going to talk about adultery, fornication, and covenanting and all this. It's what comes out of that man's heart. That's what the foolishness is. And that's what he's explaining. So it's important that we get it. Also, over there in Matthew 6, if you remember, we talked about that a little bit in Matthew 6. I think it was 21. But it goes back to 19 or 18. We'll go to the 19th, and because he's talking about prayer, and in this prayer, he's talking about people, how they pray and transgress and against the law and appear to be one thing and another thing. And so, but here's the bottom line. Jesus is going to let them know it's about what's in there, wherever their treasure is at. So whatever you treasure, that's where you're at. That's probably about the best way to explain that. Whatever you think the most of, that's where you're at. That's where your spirit is at. So we'll read the scripture first, and then we'll get into it just for a little bit. So Jesus says, lay not up. This is the 19th verse, Matthew 6, 19th verse. It says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust do corrupt, and rather thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves in heaven. Can't be no plainer than that.
All right.
Where neither moth nor rust doeth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through, nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And the 22nd verse says, the light of the body is the eye. And if therefore the eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light.
Mm-hmm. Amen, amen. From the Message Bible. Don't hoard treasures down here where it gets eaten by moth and corroded by rust, or worse, stolen by burglars. Stockpile treasure in heaven where it's safe from moth and rust and burglars. It's obvious, isn't it? The place where your treasure is the place you will most want to be and end up being. Your eyes are windows into your body. If you open your eyes wide in wonder and belief, your body fills up with light. Amen, amen. Praise God.
Go ahead, Pastor.
No, I was just saying praise God. Go ahead, Pastor.
Okay. Do we worry about what is our deity than what is in our hearts and minds? And they interpret the law, and this is what people would do, the Israelite, they would do, because they believed in what they could see, feel, touch, and that type of thing. So what God is telling them here is, Jesus point out, when I say God, Jesus, I probably do need to correct myself, and thanks. Thank you, Holy Spirit. But Jesus pointed out that sin actually began in the attitude and the intent of the inner person. And the way I put this, I want to make sure everybody get it, because Jesus pointing out what's actually going on, the reality, it begins in the attitude of the interior and not the exterior of the inner person. So Jesus did not degrade the law, but paved the way for change. So it will be real clear. And I told all you all the other day, there will be change, and they're going to be change as long as you live. And I've proven that the other day with the with this coronavirus. There's change all around you. I remember a time you wouldn't dare go in the bank with no mask on. But now it's common.
Yeah.
It's common. They're going to be change. Mm-hmm. But we got to stay true to the Word of God, okay? Keep your faith in the Word of God. Had a lady tell me the other day, and I'm going to finish this up, because God looking for a pure heart, brothers and sisters. That, let me throw that out there, too. Because I had a lady tell me the other day about her daughter is gay. Yeah, but, you know, I love her, and I don't want to lose her. And she went through all this. I said, you already lost her. You don't put the Word of God second.
All right.
Second.
All right.
Because your child is gay. You don't do that. Well, I know she might have got a little upset. Yeah. Well, what would you do? I said, I put the Word of God first, and I just have to tell her. See, God gave you that child. Now God going to give you that child. Now you're going to put the child above God. Man, that's stupid.
Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy.
Well, I want to know what you're going to do when the child gets snatched up out of your arms. Then you ain't going to have no child. Then what you going to do? That's all I want to know. What would you do then? You need to see God, okay?
Yes, yes.
If you get a chance, y'all have to do it now. Over in Acts 10, 9 through 29, it makes it real clear, brothers and sisters, there will be changes. And that there were going to be changes in culture. There are going to be changes. There are going to be changes in restriction. There are going to be a lot of changes. And people are going to change. But when people change, you don't have to change. The only change you want to do is to change your spirit, and that is to get born again. That's what makes us pure. You know, that's where our reward is at. We began to put on this pure image of Christ on the inside. We began to rest in that kind of stuff. This is the action that we must take upon ourselves, is to have the mind of Christ, not to dwell in lust. That don't mean you hate a person. That just means you're not going to be part of that. You're just not going to be part of that.
Because
the day will come, the day of separation is going to come. Like it or not, but it's coming.
Yes,
now be ready for that change. Because it's coming. And God don't care about you talking about, oh, this is my child, this is my only child, this, that, and the third. God ain't interested in that. He want to know, are you obeying my word? That's all he want to know. Are you walking in my word? Did you tell him what my word say? Or was you part of the problem than being part of the solution?
Because,
you know, a lot of parents, they part of the problem and not part of the solution. Well, you know, I don't want my child to come up like I did. I had a hard time, so I want them to be a little, I want life to be a little bit easier for them. They go on and on and on. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you, you'll have to pay for your child's sin unless you expose them.
Have mercy.
And trying to tell my God don't love sin. Stop telling that lie, too.
Man, amen.
God ain't told nowhere does God say he loves sin. He can't stand it. It stinks in his nostril. That's why he sent Jesus. So he could get rid of the sin issue so he can see us through Christ now. Because he didn't want to look at us the way we were. We were, our righteousness was as filthy rag. And every female ought to know what a filthy rag is.
Amen, amen.
Our best was that filthy rag before him. But moving on, Paul's advice to us in Philippians 4 and 8, and I think we'll read this. We didn't do it during the, but I want to read this one. In Philippians 4 and 8, Pastor, if you'll read that for us. Well, if you'll read that for us, Pastor, I appreciate it. Philippians 4 and 8.
Philippians 4 and 8 from the King James. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Amen. And then the Message Bible. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, athletic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you learned from me, what you heard and saw and realized. It says, that night Thursday, do that and God who makes everything together will work you into his most excellent harmony. Amen.
Yeah. See, if you want to know what that great price God's talking about, that's what he's talking about. See, let me put it to you this way. Brothers and sisters, if you want to keep the peace of God in your heart, you're going to have to guard your thoughts. You're going to have to guard your emotions. You're going to have to allow Christ Jesus to be over your mind, over your heart. The Bible says,
yes,
and that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep
mm-hmm.
your heart, talking about your spirit and minds through Christ Jesus. That's the way it got to work. I don't care what you're going through. He says this, finally, brother. Talking about, you know, your heart now. Because that's what you're talking about, keeping your heart right, you know, keeping your spirit
mm-hmm.
man right. What you rejoice in. You ought to rejoice in the things of the Lord.
Say that.
Rejoice.
Say that. Mm-hmm.
Again, rejoice in things of God.
Yeah.
He says, and
Amen.
Keep the peace of God. Here's what you're going to have to do. So he says, now, I've told you all of this. He says, finally. I'm going to make sure you understand. Stay in Christ. Keep your heart, your spirit in Christ. But
mm-hmm.
after, when you go past that, he says, now, because now you got to deal with the flesh stuff. He says, finally, brother, what things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, talking about right, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good, report. He said, now, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on this stuff right here. Think about this stuff that I just made mention to you. What is it? And actually, he's talking to the sisters and the brethren and whoever is in Christ, these other people he's talking to. Not people outside of Christ, but people that are in Christ.
That's
he's
right.
telling us how to handle these situations. You know if it's a right desire. You know if it's right in what, you know if it's fair. You know God accepts that to be fair. You know, stop praying. Stop
All
praying.
Right. Say that.
At the end of the day, Matthew 6 says, in 21, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Think about
Amen.
It.
Amen. Amen.
So the heart he's talking about is that spirit man. I continue to tell you, I'm not talking about that 4-inch muscle, that 4-inch organ, that 4-inch thing in your chest, about big as your fist on the left-hand side. That's not what we're talking about. When the Bible talks about the heart, he's talking about your spirit.
Can't
overemphasize that. So if it would behoove all of us that when you see that word heart, know what you're talking about. Because the part that's going to be deceived is not the one that pumps blood. Trust me. When you talk about characteristics of the heart, he's not talking about the one that, in Jeremiah 17:9, he's not talking about the thing that pumped blood. Talking about your spirit, man.
Yeah.
So in Proverbs 4, I think we read Proverbs 4 and 23. I'm going to ask Pastor read that out the Messenger Bible. But this is what we have to find a way to do. That's your job. That was one of the scriptures we touched on this week with Proverbs 4. Where's 23? I want the pastor to read it out of Messenger, if she will.
Yes, Pastor. And it reads as follows. Okay. Keep vigilant watch over your heart. That's where life starts. Amen. Keep vigilant watch over your heart. That's where life starts. I'm sorry. Amen.
The scripture says, for they are life unto those that find them, and help to all thy flesh. And the 23rd verse says, keep the heart with diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And so when you read it out of the Messenger Bible, it says life. This is where your life at, man. You got to keep your life.
That's right. That's right.
You got to keep a watch over your life, over your heart.
Mm-hmm.
You got to keep a watch over your heart, talking about your spirit. This is where your life, that's where your real life is at.
Amen.
And the word keep, he's talking about doing something. He's talking about guarding your heart. And I read somewhere, that's the most important thing you could ever do. Once you get born again, the most important thing you could ever do is watch over your spirit, over your heart. Watch what comes out of your mouth.
Amen.
Because
see,
what comes
Amen.
Out of your mouth is coming from your heart.
Mm-hmm.
So he's telling us, he's giving us wisdom. He's telling us the things to focus on, things to pay attention to. He's telling us to open our eyes and our ears and pay attention to the word of God. So when the word of God is telling us to keep a deep watch over our heart, that's what he's telling us. Watch, pay attention. Pay attention, brothers and sisters. Pay attention.
Amen. Amen, amen.
And some people will tell you, well, you know, your body. Yeah, that's fine, brother and sister. Wash your body, do all those good things. But, man, your heart is really important as far as God is concerned. And once you get born again, you need to watch over that. That's how you keep your heart, man. You keep it by paying attention. So the thief don't steal it. So he don't bring a bunch of garbage in there.
Yes, yes. Amen,
He was watching. Here's what's happening. When you watching, you paying attention.
Say that.
Remember Jesus gave us that parable? He gave us that parable. See, you got to pay attention. Because the thief gonna come but to steal, kill, and destroy. You gotta watch your house. See, if you don't put a watch on your house, the enemy will come in there and steal all your good stuff.
Yes, yes. Amen, amen, amen.
We also had read about cause proceed from a spiteful heart. We talked about that this week. We talked about what comes out of an evil heart.
Yeah.
And I like the fact that Proverbs, I think it was Proverbs 3, we were talking about a pure heart, write it upon the table of our heart. And I think there's a scripture over there in Hebrews that let it be an aligning of your heart, talking about in your spirit, man. So when I read Proverbs 3, we'll read Proverbs 3 and 3. Because let me tell you what. People, I just don't give these scriptures just to be given. There is meat There is medicine. There is healing. There's deliverance in these scriptures.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Proverbs 3:3 says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. In other words, don't let it pass. Well, I read, let Pastor read it out of the Messenger Bible. It says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tables of thy heart. Talking about your spirit.
Amen. And from the Message Bible, don't lose your grip on love and loyalty. Tie them around your neck. Carve their initials on your heart. Earn a reputation of living well in God's eyes and the eyes of the people. Amen.
Amen. Don't let mercy get away. Don't let truth get away.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just leave them by the wayside and say, oh, I don't need mercy. I don't need truth. You need them. Matter of fact, he said, go to the next level. He said, and bind them up. Bind them about thy neck.
Yeah.
You know, when you're binding something, you got to put something on there to tie it down to make sure it don't get away. You got to bind that thing, man. Bind mercy. Bind truth. Yeah. Don't let it get. But he's telling you, whatever you got to do, you got to keep this. He says, even you got to write it upon the table of your spirit, of your heart, man.
Mm-hmm.
Write it.
Yeah.
When you write something, you're engraving.
Mm-hmm. Amen. That's right.
I'm going to leave it right there. Pastor, you have any comments, anything you want to say? And, of course, that goes anyone else, just press 1. And like I said, it's our review. I'm going to ask Pastor if she'll have the final words here, unless somebody else like to have something to say.
Amen. Well, I like to read Proverbs 4. And chapter 4 and verse 20 through 27, as you were speaking, Pastor, everything you're saying is in this. So I'm going to read it, and I'm going to read it from God's Word. And it says,
that's Proverbs what? That's Proverbs what?
4. And verses 20 through 27 from God's Word.
Okay.
It says, my son, pay attention to my words. Open your ears to what I say. Do not lose sight of these things. Keep them deep within your heart because they are life to those who find them. And they heal the whole body. Guard your heart more than anything else, because the source of your life flows from it. Remove dishonesty from your mouth. Put deceptive speech far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your sight be focused in front of you. Carefully walk a straight path and all your ways will be secure. Do not lean to the right or to the left. Walk away from evil. And then that tied in with what you were saying in Proverbs 3 and verse 3, and I'm still in God's Word, and it says, don't let mercy and truth leave you. Fasten them around your neck. Write them on the table of your heart. then you will find favor and much success in the sight of God and humanity. Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
So I just wanted to read that out of God's word as well.
Thank you so much, Pastor. You don't know, but that scripture God gave me one time when I was really seeking for God. So that's real touching for me. I was really seeking for God. And I'm just going to tell you all, maybe a little broader for some of you guys, but I went in the bathroom that day. I never forget. It was years and years ago. And that's the very scripture that God gave me, was Proverbs 4:20. I've told this story before. But I was sitting down, and I was sitting down on the toilet. I'm telling you all this because I like for you to picture. I got comfortable enough there that God began to speak to me. And this is where he spoke to me right through this. It was like he called me his son because I didn't have a father. See, God put all this stuff in context. I didn't have a father. So it was like the first time I really heard my father say, my son, pay attention to my words. I want you to pay attention to what I'm telling you. And I never really had that in my life. And it was like, I want you to get this stuff apart from your eyes or your spirit. But, you know, at the time, I didn't really understand. He was telling me my heart. I'm thinking like most folks think, what was dear to my heart, not knowing that all along God was sowing his word in my spirit, man.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
And what I got out of all of this, and that's why I thank you for reading it, because what I got all out of all this, I have to keep the word in my spirit. That's where my life is in. That's where my life is in. So thank you so much. I appreciate it. And Pastor, anything you'd like to say, and you can have the last word and close us out. Thank you.
Amen. Well, I just thank God for the word and for the revelation and how this word has to be in our hearts. I mean, in that spirit, our spirit man has to receive this. And we have to feed our spirit man daily. I like to say that wherever you spend your quiet time talking to God, then do that and let him speak to your heart. Let him speak to that spirit man. And Pastor's experience, it was in the bathroom, and other experiences, it can be in the laundry room. It could be in a closet. It could be anywhere. It could be in your bed. You know, you just have to just guard your heart. And, you know, Pastor made me think about I used to attend this one, well, I used to visit this one church. It was a Seventh-day Adventist church. And so they always had their services on Saturday. And I had went. And one of the brothers there had, you guard your heart, don't you? I looked at him and I'm like, yes, I do. He was talking about the spirit. Because it was something that he saw in me at that time I didn't see in myself. So let us continue to be in this word. I can't thank Pastor enough for being dedicated to teaching this word and allowing us to meditate on this word. And so with that being said, you know, let us guard that heart, our spirit, man. I think of Hebrew 10 where it says, let it be in the lining of our hearts. And that's where we want God's word. We want to keep it there because if it's there, then he's going to lead us in the right path. So thank you so much. God bless everyone. We'll see everybody tomorrow for the word at noon.